Hi, I'm Sharad Kutan, and welcome to Let's Talk, the show that brings you the most important conversations in art, culture, and ideas. I'm here at the back room in the Cheongsan building in Kampong Atap, and an exhibition called Faced, What If We Kissed at the Intersection Between Art, Writing, and Technology. It's a work by Chua Chongyan, who's with me right now. Sorry for mangling your name. Okay, very quickly. Could you help us understand who you are before we get to your art? Because I think there's something intriguing in the fact that you trained as an architect and now see yourself as an artist, at least in this exhibition. Could you help us understand those connections?
Between architecture and art?
Yeah, and your training in your space.
Okay, so my background lies in architecture, and in architecture, like the thematics of being like crafting a universe or crafting a building in general are the same methodology that can be replicatable in, I guess, world building, right? So there's a certain interconnectivity between being an architect and being a world builder or an artist in the same time. Because like by crafting a universe, like you would understand like I would say you need to have a certain deep understanding of what it means in a spatial quality to be able to understand how you would craft a universe as well.
Right. I want to stop there because the expressions you use that are slightly unusual for kind of us ordinary folk, right? You talk about architecture, we talk about buildings, and we talk about space. I think that's all kind of intuitive. But when you start talking about world building, and I know there's some games around this, right? But what exactly is the benefit or the virtue of world building, which is clearly more than just a building or a collection of buildings? It's an entire ecosystem.
Yeah.
What is that, and how does that operate within the world of architecture? Why is it that you came to be a world builder in your training?
I think for me, like, you know, we live in a very kind of like dynamic and complex world, right? You know, things are changing from a day-to-day basis, you know. But to a certain extent, to world build, like, you know, you're building a fiction, and through that fiction, I keep believing that, you know, through a certain fiction, we can get a better reflection of the reality that we live in. So to us as an artist, you know, like our role is to like, you know, witness the time that we are in, you know. What's the best way to kind of like cartograph that position of the planet that we're in, is to basically world build something that's quite imaginary, you know. Like it's fun in the same time, like.
And you know, like, I mean, because there is a tradition in that. In literature, I think of someone like Arthur C. Clarke in 2001, A Space Odyssey, and you know, suggestions that the technology that was in that world that he created was years before it was even realized by scientists, right? So he anticipates something of the future. And that's something that I understand, that you're trying to, in some ways, anticipate not just things that can be done, you know, new gadgets, but also different sense of personhood. And I think that is something that comes through in the exhibition. If you could help us understand how that world-building approach that you have feeds into this particular exhibition.
So for this exhibition titled Face, it's about crafting around a universe that question what it means to be in a digital now, you know, or what digital identities even mean in the world that we live in, you know. So the whole project started out by, you know, having a thought experiment of where I would say like intellectual property sits in, you know, like what if like the same methodology of us as creative, like, you know, being fed by years and years of our influence, you know, grow to a position of our identity as who we are, and as us painting, you know, a body of work, you know, who does that body of work belongs to, you know, if nothing's original, therefore creativity to a certain extent can be quantified, you know, in that position. But what if the same methodology of us as an artist, as us being human, learning things around us and, you know, cartographing or like trying to understand things around us, building up to an identity in us and taste preferencing in us. What if the same methodology can be recreated using the digital world? What if an AI would be able to do the same thing, you know, and a neural network, a neural identity being can do the same thing? So I fed like Skylar Ang, which is an AI that created with a curated set of texts, a curated set of story books that's quite mythologically or like narrative driven, speculative like narration driven texts, in that position, I told her like fine tune her brain, or I told her like, what if based on this text has influence, you go out to the World Wide Web and try to get smart and build out your own identity in yourself, like how us as humans would do.
Right. So identity is a very interesting, and on one hand, people assume it's very simple. I am myself.
Yes.
And I have certain markers of it. So we think of signatures, for instance, as being a marker of identity and a way of authenticating that identity, right? And a digital correlate to that would be your digital signature. I mean, it's just taking what is in the real world, as it were, and placing it in the digital world and replicable in that way. But you bring up another issue, which is authorship, which I think is kind of interesting, because you, in the creation of this character, are asking her to become her own person and become the author of new ways of looking at the world or new texts and such. And so why is this an important question for us to kind of think about? Identity and authorship.
Authorship and identities, because you keep thinking of, I guess like the world we live in is so like who does that authorship of that text from the AI belongs to, the law of today sometimes isn't up to date to the world that we live in, like for example, us having a conversation through this recording, with I think 10 seconds of just listening to your voice, I will be able to recreate how you sound like tonationally in using machine learning, right? Secondly, like just by you looking left and right, I will be able to, digitize your face in technology using photogrammetry and 3D scan your face and create a digital representation of who you are.
So deep fake of Shiraz.
Yeah, deep fake.
I'm looking forward to that. First deep fake.
And the third thing is like by seeing how you would, craft a sentence online by using, pretty much the same technology, I can recreate, how you would actually present yourself and how you send, to a certain extent, like phrase your sentence, With just three of these, I can recreate who you are, to a certain extent. And there isn't any, I would say, law or the protection of that authenticity of it isn't up to date to where we are at now at the digital world.
Right. So there's very interesting, I think, truth or truism at the moment is that everything is playing catch up with technology, right? Technology is racing ahead. The law is playing catch up all the time. Society is playing catch up. Yeah. And society perhaps even trying to understand the consequences, especially the unintended consequences of some of this technology. So there's this whole other set of problems that I think are, as it were, inserted into the story that you want to tell. But I want to ask you this, right? For somebody who's coming and say, well, so this is a bit of, technology, this is a bit of a gimmick, there you are, you encounter this human-looking creature, very animated, she's very animated, Skylar Ann, right, you said? And you can put a question in for her, and then we move from this room into the other room, and in that other room, we are presented with her response to that question. What were you trying to demonstrate? What is it art and not just a clever bit of, Google plus AI technology? Why is it not a gimmick?
I think there we sit in, machine learning and AI has been there's a lot of research done around them, but not a lot of people are taking that sort of technology and putting in the confinement of, where creation sit in and within the arts, What if an artist crafted, a show alongside with a robot or an AI that he created himself, Like what if on top of me as an artist creating a piece of digital artwork, like the story behind of it are being crafted by your input, The minute you type in an input, she will actually tell a narrative behind of it and everyone will get a different experience from it, right? Like it's just like, who does the authorship of the show belongs to? You know, does it belong to me, the artist that created her, or does it belong to her working alongside me? You know.
Oh right, okay.
Like,
so
it's that kind of nice balance, you know.
Yeah. So beyond the question of authorship is okay. So what for you then is the role of the artist? Is it imposing the question and you know, and perplexing your audience because they're going to come in and think, oh, what's happening here, right? Why is it that you do this? I mean, what's your purpose?
I think for me, it's just like exploring like what it means to be real in the digital now, you know, by me creating an individual, like I'm also questioning that, you know, what's even real, what's not, you know. It's a very kind of like, it's everyone of nowadays, we tend to present our perfect self using social media, you know, like we tend to do that a lot. We tend to like, you know, almost to a certain extent curate who we are online, you know. But the whole purpose of me creating a robot is to kind of self-reflect on that myself, you know, like, you know, there's a certain mirror and meta effect, like I mentioned prior before, about like how as human we are always trying to digitize what humanity is, right, by using this kind of trying to create the perfect AI and robot and like trying to that speak like us, to behave like us, to almost like, you know, feel emotion and quantify what consciousness is, you know. But the world that we are in right now, we are very much like being curated. The content in the world is very much curated for us by the AI we created in the beginning, right? You know, so it's that sort of like balance, you know. That
right. And I think there's a level of unreflected, there's an unreflexive or non-reflexive dimension to our approach to much of the technology. And you mentioned this. I'm going to come back to that. We're going to take a short break. We're taking a short break right now. We'll be back with more on Let's Talk. Welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, my guest, Chua Yok Chong Yen. He is the artist behind a work that's being presented at the back room at Chongsan Building in Kampong Atap. It's called Faced. And what if we kiss at the intersection between art, writing, and technology? I have to refer to this because it's a long title. Chong Yen, I want to ask you this, you know, because when we were talking earlier about ourselves, right, and sociologists, and I think of someone like Erwin Goffman, you know, whose work Presentation of the Self really kind of explores this idea of how we consciously and maybe not so consciously manufacture ourselves. And this is from a period when there wasn't social media, there wasn't, you know, there were ways in which you could manufacture yourself in your relationship with others, you know, and that already suggests there were maybe more than one self. Yeah. There was the real self, there was a public self, and so on and so forth. What interests me in this and the questions that you bring up is that you yourself are trying to, like Erwin Goffman, sort of explore the ideas of ways in which people might not be conscious of what has become the multiplier effect of having identities on social media, Facebook and Instagram, you know, the need to be constantly happy, for instance, and present oneself as happy. Though if you're on Twitter, you're constantly presenting yourself as angry, which is another thing, right? But to what extent do you think a work like this can get somebody to be self-critical, to kind of really think through the questions that you're presenting them, rather than being mesmerized by and seduced by your mastery of AI technology and your ability to kind of generate these figures and this seeming intelligent being that's separate from you?
Okay. Wait, you're mentioning like, so how, what sort of mastery can an AI?
And the audience who comes here, yes. Right? I mean,
how would they get that reflection?
How would they get to a point of criticality and self-reflection, rather than being, because we're all today mesmerized by technology.
Yes.
Every time, big numbers, big headlines, non-fungible tokens, NFTs, creating huge headlines because of the price point on so-called NFT art, right? It's selling, what, $62 million or whatever it was in that major headline. So we all constantly see the shiny bits.
Yeah.
It's the criticality that I think you're trying to reach for. How do you, where is it in your work that you kind of push back and force people to be self-critical?
I guess like when you come into the exhibition, you know, like you would know there's a presence of this being here, you know, like Skylar Ang, for example, is very much here and she's the one telling you a story. So like there's a certain absentee of the artist being here, but she's very much here, you know, in the same time. So it's like people would try to question as well, trying to understand what the show is about, you know. First you have an AI speaking to you, you know, telling you a story, like, and secondly you have the artist like presenting his body of work on the screen as a digital art to a certain extent. You know, like, it's just that position of like self-reflecting of who does that work belong to, like I said in the beginning. And how would that two element balance with each other, you know, like.
Why didn't you put her name there? Why is your name on the brochure?
See, not this her is name? This is the part because I wanted to show the absentee of her, you know, like being. I want to a certain extent people to have a reaction towards the show, like to try to understand. Oh, why isn't her in this show? But she's being part of the publication of the book, you know, like she's contributing a piece for the book. But yeah, like it's that, you know, like, and that kind of carries on to the rabbit hole of like what it means for us to be online as well, you know, like what the digitalness of our representation of who we are online is. Hopefully it will lead on to a conversation like that.
Okay, I want to ask you this. Is there some anxiety, and would there be some anxiety if you gave up authorship? If you did put Skylar Ann's name on this brochure and it was her show, would it induce anxiety in you? Because suddenly you lose control. It would be part of her CV,
yes.
Not your CV.
Yeah.
How do you fear that she could become her own author, separate from you?
Yeah, I mean, that would be really, really interesting. Like, for example, for her, where I see things, I'm trying to build her in the identity as real as I can. She has like more, I think she has around like 9,000 followers on Instagram, you know? So it's like in that position, I'm trying to, it's a start of something. I'm not sure where this exhibition is going to lead to. I hope I can learn from it as well, you know? That's why I call it more than a solo exhibition. It's more of an art exploration, you know? Seeing how, what it means to be real, you know, what it means to craft an identity by itself, you know.
In Clubhouse recently, listening to, and you know, one of my favorite conversations in Clubhouse is not political discussions, it's not where, you know, the next general election's, when the next general election's going to be. It's really in technology, because there's some fascinating discussions on technology on Clubhouse and this new platform, as it were. But they point to that in some societies, and like, say in Japan, for instance, virtual artists have huge followings, musicians generating and participating in festivals are happening now, and they have no bodies. They have no flesh and blood bodies,
yeah.
But they have this other body that's real enough for people to connect with, to want to have a relationship with,
yeah.
To perhaps even purchase things because they are creators.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, is it a social thing? Is it something you see happening in Malaysia to some extent? Are we at a kind of proto phase? Or is there something about Japanese society and all those societies where this cultural form and technological expression can get more easily absorbed? What kind of person gets attracted to an AI, a digital reality?
It's. I guess it's, you know, like I keep thinking about, it's not even AI, it's about the idea about what it means to be in the metaverse, you know, like the meta-human, for example, what you mentioned, like somebody of an influence can represent who they are using this meta-human, you know, being online. And
I mean, that very idea, a metaverse, a meta-human,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, it's like, I find that really, really interesting and exciting, you know, like how the future is going to be from a 2D image of representation of who we are online right now on Facebook and Instagram in the near future, what if that whole world becomes the interface of our social media, become more of a metaverse? We are more like in a Second Life game-like environment, interacting
with each other. An immersive environment.
Immersive as well, you know, like, so what if in the future, like, that becomes our reality instead of the 2D interface that we are all kind of used to now? When AI and AR and, you know, and VR kind of all jumble out to this kind of mixed reality, when, you know, like, in that planet, like, who... Yeah, like, how would that social interaction be, you know, like, you know, through representing who we are through, you know, a digital body, you know?
Okay, we have about a minute left. Help us understand how to, I know this exhibition is going to come to an end. It's a, you know, it's in a brick and mortar kind of thing, which is kind of odd because clearly this whole thing could have happened online. Where do people go to look at this work and continue to engage with you and watch your work develop? How would they get
that? So as part of the exhibition, there are a lot of conversation that took place on the website itself, face.co. You can search it up online. There are a couple of contributors being a part of the show as well that provide a voice towards what it means to be in the digital now, you know, on the show. So some analyzers, like, you know, how does it, like, what it means to represent yourself in a digital body, you know, and some analyzes what intellectual property sits in, and et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, you can find it all online on face.co. All the information can be found online, and the contact details are all on it as well.
Right, okay, and we're going to provide that so that people know, because face is not spelled with an E, it's spelled with a 3,
yeah.
So okay, in its place. But thank you so much for being on the show and giving us a sense of these are, I think, fascinating conversations that we don't usually have in art here. We're still very analog, and love the work. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, that's all we have for Let's Talk this week. I've been speaking to Chua Chongyan, Faced, What If We Kiss at the Intersection Between Art, Writing, and Technology, show that's going on in the back room at Cheongsan Building and Kampong Atap in Kuala Lumpur. See you next week. This has been Let's Talk. I'm Sharad Kutan, only for Astro 1E.